Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
There is great irony in that hour opener, Anthony, because now our good friend Brooke Pryor, we don't have to worry about any new story dropping about Josh Harris. That was back in the Dan Snyder days. And she, who still covers the Steelers, now is on Aaron Rodgers' watch constantly. So,
oh,
bring it back around there, BP. Brooke is actually going to join us at 5:30 today. She was originally scheduled for 6:30, but the way the day is unfolding in Minnesota at the NFL's mini owners meetings that they have every year around this time, Brooke is going to be able to join us at 5:30. So we will get the latest on how the Olympic vote went down, as NFL players have been allowed into the Olympics for 2028 flag football, and we'll see what she thinks is going to happen with the tush push and kind of what the arguments are there. So Brooke at 5:30. Now, though, today's issue, not my beat, is take command style, and I explain what happens during the clip. So Anthony, hit the clip.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. Take Command Podcast. Logan Paulson there. Craig Hoffman here. And it is a mailbag actual Monday, Logan. We're recording this on a Monday for once, so we get to use the alliteration.
Yeah, I actually had to kind of do a little pump fake here. Got the schedules worked out. So here we are doing mailbag. And I'm excited for this mailbag. You kind of gave me a little sneak peek. Sometimes you tell me, sometimes you don't. And I like some of these questions. So
would you prefer me to just tell you all the questions? Do you like sometimes being surprised?
Some of them require a little bit of research. Yeah. Some of them do. So I like to make sure I'm a little bit, I've looked at it. I've watched some film. I've looked at some stats, like that kind of stuff. But some of these I think are going to be fun. Like, yeah. I don't, not just kind of thought experiment level. So
yeah. No, I do try to, the ones that I know you're going to want to do the extra research on, or it's a better answer, I do try to tell you. Although there are some times I'm like, I'm going to spring this one on him. I think that'll be more entertaining. That's ultimately what we're here to inform, but also to entertain. All right, this one comes from Jason to get us started, and it comes off the heels of our episode with Mita Kimes, which we hope you enjoyed. Thanks for all the nice comments and everyone that enjoyed Mina. So Jason says, I just finished the Mita Kimes episode, and I wanted to submit a question. And based on the discussion with Mina on Take Command, I wanted to get your take on something I learned from the roster building. Zach and Bobby are constantly mentioned by what people learn from 2024, but that doesn't tell the story. What I learned from 2024 is how intentional free agent signings can accelerate a roster build. Almost every coach had a veteran free agent brought in who had played for them before. How much do you think this contributed? And Jason did a ton of research and listed off all the different dudes from Dante Fowler and Tyler Tyler Biotis, who had been with Dan in Dallas, on through the position coaches. But, you know, basically every coach that was brought in had someone who wasn't new to them. Anthony Lynn, Austin Ekeler, on down the list. So, Logan, I think this is a particularly interesting question philosophically, but also Jason submitted this question for us to talk about either on the radio show or on this show. And I was like, one, we don't really do mailbag sections on the radio show, so definitely take command. And two, you were this person in San Francisco in some ways with Kyle Shanahan. So this is definitely a take command mailbag question. And that's long setup over. How do you answer this?
Yeah, so I think this is a really good question, and I'm going to kind of attack it two ways. First is kind of with a nihilistic approach, right? So obviously, like, it's important to bring in people that you know, right? It's important to bring in a level of familiarity, especially with guys that are kind of familiar with the scheme, right? Because it really expedites coaching. Like, you can just look to this person as an example of being like, hey, this is how we want to block outside zone, or this is what we do on sift, or this is what we do on split. Like, this is the difference. This is the call. And having that voice in there is really important. However, I think it's also important to understand that all of those free agents that were listed were guys that played well this year, right? And so, like, as much as you want to say, like, the familiarity is something that's important in a culture build, and I 100% think that is true. I think it's good to have, like, archetypes, monoliths of guys at the position, like Bobby Wagner, Zach Ertz come to mind and be like, this is how pros do it. This is how we do it. This is the expectation, right? That's super important. It works better if those guys play well. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Those guys are good at football. And I think when you look at Bobby, I think the staff had a really good understanding of what he is and what he isn't. And they were able to speak to his strengths. And so not only are you getting a guy that is an example of the culture, and I think we've seen versions of this before, like Thomas Davis coming here and not really playing well, not being able to. And that's not, he's a Hall of Fame, borderline Hall of Fame player. I'm just saying, like, when he got here.
When he got here to Washington at the end, that was not the Hall of Fame portion of his career.
Correct. And so, like, obviously, like, that he didn't help the team. And, like, there's a great familiarity there with Ron and Davis, but that didn't work out. And so I do think it's helpful when you identify a piece that can be this example, that can be this monolith, be selective about your free agent sign, but they also got to be good football players, right? So kind of the second part of this question, like, when I was in San Francisco, like, this was something that I kind of viewed myself as being brought in to do. And maybe if you ask Kyle, he'd say something different. But, like, you know, I kind of felt like I was there to help expedite a cultural identity, right? And when I got there, like, obviously that was what I was trying to do, but things changed. My role changed on the team. My ability to do that changed. And then same thing in Atlanta, right? You come in with a certain expectation and you kind of got to fit the coaching staff and kind of fit the model of, I don't know, fit the model of the team, of the roster. And so I think that's another element too that's maybe, you know, ignored or undervalued in the question, is like, they could be brought in to be one thing, but obviously, like, the roster is the dynamic situation that is constantly changing. So, yeah, long story short, I think, yes, that these are important things that are really critical to any roster build. And most teams, when you look at free agency, they try to do a version of this with varying levels of success. And so I think when you look at the Commanders, for example, like, I was just talking with someone today about Zach Ertz. Like, he had one of the best seasons I've seen from him in a long time, partially because he's healthy. Like, if Zach's dinged up, are we still talking about the free agent class last year in the same breath, in the same light? So I think it's important to understand that, yes, that leadership, the familiarity is important, but they also need to come in and play good football. And I think that doesn't always happen in some of these kind of, familiarity free agent signings.
Yeah, I got a couple of thoughts as well. And just to, you know, click on that at the end, right? The cultural identity and all that kind of stuff. Dante Fowler was brought in to play a certain role, and he wound up playing a much bigger role. Right. And one of the biggest holes in this team was the expanded role that he had to play. Dante obviously had a double-digit sack season, made a ton of big plays, had what I would consider a very good season last year here in Washington. His lack of discipline and just doing the thing he's supposed to do in the run game was an enormous part of their run defense. That is who he has been his entire career. And Dan knew this, but he was the best option they had. And thus he, and despite the familiarity with Dan and Joe Witt and with Daryl Tapp up front, like, they couldn't get that right. And it probably didn't help. So it can swing both ways. Like you said, if the role isn't right for the guy, then or he winds up having to do something different because football seasons are dynamic and roster dynamics are dynamic. And it is something totally different. So I think that would be thing one. Anything you wanted to add on that front before I get to my second thing?
No, I think that kind of that's a perfect encapsulation of what I'm talking about. It's like, yeah, just because you're familiar with the guy doesn't mean he's going to fit with what you need him to do. So making sure you identify what you need this player to be, and then like his role in the team. Like I think if you would have said, hey, you know, Fowler's going to be a designated pass rusher, that's what he's here for. Like I think that role would have been much better, right? But things changed, like we just talked about, and my role in San Francisco changed. And I think that's something that is always important to remember with these free agent signings.
So my second thing is more on the positive, like giving credence to this point, which is the longer I'm around this sport and this league specifically, I think just removing things you can trip over is such an enormous element of success. Maybe that's because I feel like that's how you see the game, and you and I, like, you're the person I talk the most football with and the smartest football person that I know. So that I get to talk to on a regular basis at the very least. So, you know, that might be you rubbing off on me, but I genuinely think like if you can just not trip over your own shoelaces, you can get really far in this league. And the more guys you have that are familiar with the system, the more guys that are familiar with how you want things done, the less you're going to trip over your own shoelaces. Like if you have to teach 53 guys something new, that's a lot harder than teaching 33 guys what to do, especially when the other 20 are specifically designated to help teach the other 33. It makes the student to teacher ratio a lot better. And I also think, generally speaking, across all sports and all structures, I'll say, human structures, leadership is best when layered. And so if you have leaders that are at the coaching staff level saying the same thing at the senior player level, at the junior player level, at the executive level, like you are just going to get better results because everyone's rowing the boat in the same direction. And that if you get the right guys is a good way to ensure that you don't trip over your own shoelaces and get the boat rowing with everybody in the same direction.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that kind of is like goes hand in hand with that is obviously you're talking about this, you know, disseminating of information kind of top down, right? But I also think it goes the other way too, right? And I think one of the things about knowing the player is like, so coaching at the high school level has given me a small taste of this. The better you know the kid, the better you can put them in a better position to be successful. And I look at, I think Bobby's a great example of this, like knowing who Bobby is and knowing how they used him last year, they put him in a role where he's not going to be, you know, like on somebody's highlight reel, because they understand what he does well, which is fit the run and command the defense. I'm not going to ask him to do too much really challenging coverage stuff, right? And I think that's important. And that's something that Dan and the staff knew because they have a lot of exposure to him. They've watched a lot of film of him. And they probably have a great communication back and forth between the two parties. So I think that's the other way that's important. And people are always like, man, the NFL is such a nepotism-based hiring system, right? But it's important that I know you. I know how you operate. I know what you're good at. I know what you're bad at, and I know what gaps you can fill, and I know what kind of person you are. And I think that's the same thing with, like, you know, when Mina came on, she said, oh, it's friends of Dan or it's friends of Adam. Like, yes, that is true. But if you look around the league, like, that's how smart people do free agency most of the time, right? Because they say, I know Tyler Biadasz. I was with him every day. I know he's going to study. I know he's a good leader. And he might not be a great leader in Dallas, but I think he's ready for a bigger role here in Washington, right? And he was, and he did a great job of that. And I think that's important to acknowledge and understand. And I think, like, we talked about Bobby, we talked about Zach. And I think the other thing here too is, like, they brought Zach in on a one-year, $4 million deal, something approximating that last year. And, like, so they're mitigating risk with getting a high return. I think if you're going to pay those people that are coming in just because you know them a lot of money, that's one thing. But even Bobby Wagner didn't get a huge deal, right? It was all kind of measured, and that's good decision-making. It's like there's the value that we just talked about, but we're also mitigating a lot of the risk. So that's where it's saying, like, I don't think anybody expected them, based on the number they were getting, to come in and play as well as they did, because if it was, they'd be getting a lot more money, right? So I think, like, that's the thing that I look at here is, like, yes, you are getting value from knowing the person. You're getting value from those relationships. You're getting value from the leadership. But the thing that was exponentially more valuable in this situation in this year for the Commanders in 2024 was how well those guys played. And they all played better than their contract. And there's nothing better than getting a free agent that exceeds the monetary value that you gave them. And so I think that's something that, again, like, it's this weird circular thing where it's like, yes, it's valuable that you know them, but what is that value? And this team didn't overpay, so the value feels even more acute because of, in addition to the relationship, how well they ended up playing.
Right. Because we knew them, we could put them in the right schematic stuff. We also know what kind of things we need to do to support them. And then the other kind of unrelated thing that popped to mind for me when you talked about some of the bottom up type stuff is that connection between the locker room and the coaching staff, where it all felt like one cohesive unit. And I would guess that there's not a lot of guys on this team that don't feel comfortable going to Dan with something, going to DQ with something if they feel it, because that's the kind of coach that he is. You know, his door is always open. And I genuinely think that that's true. Or as opposed to like some coaches might be like, my door is always open. And it's like, yeah, but there's like a laser tripwire on that thing. And if I go in there, it's not going to be good for me. That's just not how they do business here. But sometimes you need ears on the ground. And look, they only faced so much adversity last year. They faced some, like they had that losing streak in the middle of the year. They had some injuries. There's some stuff that they had to deal with. Obviously, they were down in a ton of games, but like ultimately they came through. So there wasn't the type of pressure that a lot of teams feel in a season, in the way that the Bengals felt pressure all season last year because they started slow, right? But if things start to fester at the ground level, and you have ears on the ground in a way that doesn't feel like you're snitching or spying or whatever, but like there's genuine relationships, you also prevent stuff from bubbling up and becoming bigger issues. And I feel like when you have the kind of leadership that Zach and Bobby brought and the other guys and the connectivity in that locker room, again, it's just another way to not trip over yourself and make sure that you are unencumbered towards the highest level of success that you can find based off your talent. And I think the Commanders, through the eyes of most people, certainly the two of us, the way it could, you know, I feel comfortable speaking for us here because we've talked about it. They maximized last year. They got the most out of that group. And that's all you can really reasonably ask for within a season if you're a fan or an analyst.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that I just wanted to call attention to in regards to this question of like, you know, things that are undervalued, overvalued when it comes to free agency, I think you want to, like we talk about all the time, you want to get good value in terms of bringing people in that you feel like are going to help you out. But monetarily, you want their value to equal the money you're giving them. And I think one thing that cannot be overstated in terms of the importance of this is Jaden Daniels' addition to this team, right? Like that's, I know this is not a free agency thing, but like it does kind of, it's the cloud that looms over these free agent decisions from last year. Because in isolation, while those are good decisions, they appear to be significantly better because you have what seems to be a person on the verge of becoming a franchise quarterback, you know. And I think like ultimately, like every team is hunting for that, every team is looking for that, and you see the impact on Zach Ertz. And people say, oh well, you know, Zach Ertz had X many catches, he had this many touchdowns. He also, like, because of Jaden Daniels' ability on third down, because of his ability on fourth down, like gave Zach, gave Terry, gave all these offensive pieces more bites at the apple. And so I think that's something else that makes this difficult. It kind of reminds me a little bit of like New England, you know, when Tom Brady was there.
Yeah.
And like they brought in anybody. And you're like, man, this was a great free agent addition by Bill Belichick. And then all of a sudden Tom Brady leaves and every decision just doesn't make any sense anymore. And so that's another thing that if you're trying to learn from this experience, it's always important to put that little asterisk there and say, yes, these are good decisions because the familiarity, because the experience, because the leadership, because of how they cultivated this locker room. But you always have this thing over top of it that is the franchise quarterback potentially, which is Jaden Daniels, which, and every single year, you know, you listen to talk radio, like these are things you have to negotiate. It's like, this is the, I think this because of this, but this other factor was always kind of looming and is going to affect this. And I think that's the Jaden Daniels effect, which, you know, makes this year kind of a mulligan in terms of free agency evaluations.
Yeah. It's also kind of funny too. The best thing you can have is a value at quarterback, because you can overpay a little bit here, a little bit there, and get a little bit better players here, a little bit better players there. Right. And Brady took discounts in New England forever. Jaden's on a rookie deal. And I actually saw this. This is a crazy stat. The current top 10 highest paid quarterbacks in the league on AAV have not won a Super Bowl, with Purdy entering that realm the other day.
It's true, man. And like you think about, like even like Jalen Hurts, you know, some of these guys, like they are like he was that team was at its best when he was not making a ton of money, right? Patrick Mahomes before he made a ton of money, like Brock Purdy in San Francisco before he made it. Like there is something to that I think is so important to understand. Like, and it's almost, I wonder if like the analytics, and we're kind of diverging from the question here, but I wonder if the analytics community is going to start saying like, you should just draft a quarterback every 5 years. And so you can keep the roster where it's at, quite honestly. Like, no, if you think the guy's good, great. But I want to make sure that the roster stays really well supported. Now you're kind of entering a
But then you're threading the needle of like, when does the guy who you is that was a great young player on a rookie deal fall off a cliff? Like, how much is that guy worth? Like, it's just, can you get good dudes on rookie contracts always? Like, that's why the draft is so important. The quarterback can erase so much because while, you know, on that top 10 list are guys like Burrow, Lamar, Josh Allen, who have won a ton and probably, if not for Patrick Mahomes, would have been, you know, Super Bowl champions by now. Obviously, Hurts has now been kicked off that list by AAV, although he signed one of the biggest deals at the time, you know, depending on the other metrics you look at, how he's the best at hiding the cap hit and moving stuff around. So their roster is insane, even though they do have a paid quarterback and they just won the Super Bowl. So it is kind of funny how it winds up coming together. That still, there's no doubt that a great quarterback is the most valuable thing in the sport. But I do wonder, are we kind of reaching the limit of like just how valuable those guys are, where teams are going to start to have true stare downs with their franchise quarterbacks and be like, no, I'm not going to pay you $65 million a year. And we'll see, you know, Jaden, the way quarterback salaries are going right now in 4 years or whatever it is, he's going to be getting like 70 or 80 if the cap keeps rising. But we'll see. That's a conversation. That's a mailbag 3 years from now, Logan. All right, when we get back, Brooke Pryor will join us with the latest from the NFL owners' meetings. If you want more mailbag fun, check out Take Command wherever you get your podcast. We had a really fun question that we tackled for about 20 minutes of which non-football athlete would you like to see play for the Commanders? You could pluck any athlete from anywhere, any other league, any other sport. Who would you want to see? And it was a fun exercise, and in a way, it talks about, we're going to talk about with Brooke. It'd be kind of fun to see like which NFL football athlete could play, you know, or could be an Olympian. Now they can just play flag football. We have the latest on that, plus the push to ban the tush push with Brooke Pryor from the NFL owners meetings next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Brooke Pryor is going to join us here in just a few moments. Brooke is having to actually do some reporting. She's talking to some folks. As we await the final vote on the Tush Push, we also do already have some of the votes in, as the NFL is having their, it's not their annual league meeting. These aren't the big owners' meetings, but this is the meeting where they push stuff at other meetings to this meeting. And then if they don't decide stuff at this meeting, then they'll vote on it at the meeting before the season meeting. And the reason that I know about all of these meetings is in part because they happen every year and kind of get rhythm. But also last year, Anthony, this meeting, the May one in Minnesota, is, I believe, when they took one of the most significant votes on Josh Harris last year or 2 years ago when he was in the process of buying the team. And then obviously we know that the final meeting and the final vote got done in July when we had the big celebration at the bullpen. And that was a good time.
Yes, it was.
There's a lot of people that came out for that. We should do. What else could we have a big old celebration for?
Like right now?
Yeah, like we were just like, hey, let's have a summer party where we have a station event and everybody comes. I know. Keep thinking about it. I guess.
I do have one idea.
Okay.
So you know how we used to have the rights, the games?
Yes.
I think that will be something to celebrate.
If we got those back, I don't think that's happening though.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, if that was to happen.
A big you can listen to the games here launch party?
Yeah.
We do have a lot of great games on our station. But that's, we do not currently have the Commanders games. What else? Yeah, the sale of the team from the worst person to who seems like a pretty good owner, that is pretty rare territory. That is, there's only so many, you know, outside of winning a championship, like there's only so many things you throw a block party for. That's one of them. And like, I know there's been criticisms of other owners in town. I don't think that if any of the other teams sold, that there would be a block party. No way. It was just a dip. Like, no one else is being investigated by Congress. No one else is just so incompetent that in the ways that Dan Snyder was incompetent. So, yeah, I think.
What about the Panthers if their owner was gone?
Oh, I was talking about other teams in D.C.
Oh, you're talking about other teams in D.C.
Would there be? Oh, that's a good one. I mean, if Jerry sold the Cowboys.
You think people would be extremely happy?
Thrilled. Thrilled. I think they'd be like, thanks for your time. I think the Browns would. The thing is with the Browns, they were bad before the Haslams.
Ah, okay.
And they've been bad with the Haslams. And so unless they somehow like get sold to Josh Harris, where they're like, this guy seems to know what he's doing. No, Anthony, let's see. Oh, never mind. Someone was calling in. I was like, we're still waiting on Brooke to finish up doing what she's doing. But Anthony and I are trying to communicate behind the scenes and on the air at the same time. Not going great. But if they, I do think there would be a celebration. And I think like you could get a block party. I don't know it would be as big as ours was for Snyder. The Panthers definitely right now feel like that. I mean, the funny thing is the Knicks are as far as they've been since 1994. But if James Dolan sold the Knicks, that would be a good one. Vivek Ranadive, if he sold the Kings.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of like who are the classic worst owners. Who else in the NFL stinks?
Jags.
Yeah, if Shad Khan sold the Jags, I think there'd be a celebration. Again, these guys still don't reach the level of Snyder. Ron Adives, I mean, again, there's no congressional investigations. I mean, the funny thing is the guy in sports that was arguably like one of the worst on the off the field or off the court was Robert Sarver. And he seems to have sold to someone who's just as bad in Matt Ishbia with the Phoenix Suns. Now, I know that they're refuting some of the more salacious details that have come out of some of the latest lawsuits, but there's clearly a ton of issues in that Phoenix Suns / Mercury organization. And that's not great. And that's kind of, in a weird way, what how Snyder got the team in the first place was, you know, Jack Kent Cook dies and they're desperate to, and after the, like, instead of just giving the team to his kids, it goes into a trust. They're going to sell the team. And the first owner is that Snyder was supposed to be a minority partner with, he doesn't pass the process. So they kind of get desperate. And the NBA was so desperate to get Sarver out that Ishbia just kind of sails right through. And it's like, I don't know, this guy's not the cleanest prospect, if you will. And things have not been particularly lovely in Phoenix on that side of it. The Bidwell, ironically, the Bidwells, who, I don't know, Anthony, am I allowed to talk about the Bidwells to you? Mr. Georgetown Prep?
I mean, there are some people from Georgetown Prep definitely listening.
listen, there's been a couple of things that have happened in Arizona over the course of time with the Bidwells. Put it that way. The whole Steve Keim thing was bad. You know, the way they handled Cliff, I think a lot of people were kind of caught off guard by that. But, you know, they had a bad season, so is what it is. But there, yeah, that's an interesting one. I think just on pure sale, the next shoe to drop is the Seattle Seahawks. Now, the Seattle Seahawks are currently owned by the Allen Family Trust and being run by, I believe her name is Jody Allen, Paul Allen's sister. Paul Allen died back in 2018, one of the Microsoft co-founders or one of the early guys at Microsoft. It was him, Bill Gates, Steve Ballmer. And Allen owned the Seahawks and was a great owner. But when he died, he put the thing in a trust and with the instructions that within, I think it's 10 years or something like that, they have to sell. And the same is true for the other team he owned, the Portland Trailblazers, which finally hit the market this summer. Eventually, the Allen Family Trust will sell the Seahawks, but it hasn't happened yet. So that is probably the next team to actually go for sale. And I think there will be celebrating in Seattle just to have finality. But that is more about like what's coming versus the purgatory that they're kind of stuck in right now. But it's not like the Seahawks haven't been operating at a high level. I mean, Snyder, their GM, is good at his job. They've moved on from coaches. They've made big decisions. And I will say, too, real quick, and then we'll see if we can get Brooke on the phone here next. Part of the reason that the Packers seem to have been identified as the team to push forth this tush-push thing is because they don't have an owner. That a lot of NFL owners were scared to be the one that, like, Jeffrey Lurie could yell at. And when it's the Packers, it's like, hey, we're doing this as a football team. We don't have an owner. So just a little fun, you know, intertwinings of how the NFL works and the politics behind it all. That seems to be going down. All right, we get back. We'll see if we can get Brooke on the horn. Her schedule is, you know, we're appreciative of her if she can join us. But we'll get you the latest from the league meetings in Minnesota next here on the Team 980.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast.
With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. To Eagan, Minnesota we go, which is where the NFL is holding this spring version of its owners' meetings, all the NFL's membership there to vote on rule changes and approve this or disapprove that. And Brooke Pryor is there reporting on it all for ESPN, one of their NFL Nation reporters. Hello, my friend, wandering the halls of some fancy hotel.
Hello. It's funny you say spring because I woke up this morning and it was a real feel of 28 degrees and it's pouring rain. So feels a little bit like late winter meetings.
You've got to be kidding me.
No, not at all. It's very scenic. But the good news is that the fancy hotel is very warm inside. So
that's good.
Great for loitering and talking with NFL owners about all of these rules that they're trying to pass or not pass.
Yeah. So I could get caught up in the weather, but we don't have time for that. I will keep it professional and keep it moving forward and simply say that really sucks for you. So as for the main attraction here is the tush push vote. What changes have been made to this rule? What's its current standing, and what are the likelihood that the Eagles have run their last tush push?
Well, at the meetings in April, if you'll remember, it was pretty evenly split between teams that were in favor of a ban and teams that wanted to keep the tush push still as a part of the game. And when the Packers resubmitted their proposal last night to be voted on, they broadened the language. They took out the phrase immediately at the snap and kind of moved the language back to the version of the rule that was last in place in 2005, that you can't push or pull or do anything to aid the runner other than individually blocking for him. And that was kind of done with the purpose of making it so it doesn't seem like it's just targeting the Eagles. And the Bills also run the play very often and are very successful at it. So this is their way of saying, no, this is a player safety thing. It applies everywhere on the field, more than just the Eagles do it. And so this would be something that would affect more than just the Eagles. But, I mean, look, we all know that it really would more, it would affect the Eagles more than most other teams, even though the play in general, I think, was only run on 0.28% of all offensive plays in the league last year. So it's not as prevalent as it feels. But I think that in broadening the language, they're hoping to attract They need 24 of 32 teams to vote to ban this. So they're hoping to kind of sway some of those remaining people that are on the side of keeping that as a part of the game.
So is there any actual evidence to support that being a player safety thing? Because it has been noted by a million people at this point. There have never been any serious injuries on the tush push. And there are piles and scrums and, you know, scrum in a very general sense of the word. There are these things of human beings mushing together all over the place in the NFL. And there is no elevated injury data that supports that this tush push is a huge player safety issue. Is there actually more compelling evidence outside of that, or are teams just finding ways to get other teams to vote to stop the Eagles from doing this?
Yeah, I think it's more the second one there, that they're just trying to find ways to get teams to vote for it. I mean, Mike Tomlin at those April meetings did bring up the player safety aspect of it, but even he noted that they don't necessarily have a large enough sample size and enough extensive data to show whether or not it is dramatically affecting player safety, because there's a concussion that could happen on any given NFL play, right? It doesn't feel like this is something that dramatically increases the risk of that. But I think at the end of the day, the league wants this ban to go through because it's not an exciting play. It feels like it's not at its core a football play. It's more of like a rugby player. It's just sheer strength. There's no finesse. It's not necessarily a play that fans want to watch, that is a watchable product. So at the end of the day, it's the entertainment factor, I think, that will drive a lot of this, but there will be teams that say, well, I am voting for this ban because of player safety, even when it does not appear to be a significant safety risk over other NFL plays.
Brooke Pryor, ESPN, with us here on The Hoffman Show. And so as we sit here at 5:51 Eastern time, Brooke, when are they voting on this right now? When do we think we'll know?
No, I believe that this is something they will tackle tomorrow morning. They voted to allow NFL players to try out and participate in the 2028 Olympics on the flag football team. That was a unanimous approval. That happened earlier today. I believe that's going to be the last major piece of business that is decided today. So tomorrow we'll have the tush push, the playoff reseeding proposal. I believe there's a proposal about the onside kick, but it seems like we're going to get fireworks, if any, tomorrow morning.
Okay, so let's talk about the Olympic stuff, and then I do want to talk about the playoff seeding real quick before the end of our chat here as well. So it's unanimous. NFL players are going to be allowed to participate in the 2028 Olympic Games in Los Angeles, flag football. This is obviously very exciting news for the Olympics from a marketing standpoint. A lot of players were very excited about this. I think I saw Justin Jefferson on a screen with Roger Goodell. I'm sure you were in that room if I saw that correctly at the press conference. So he seems quite jazzed. What's the likelihood that we're actually seeing NFL players in 2028? Like, what are they saying about the practicalities here of who actually will be representing Team USA and others in the Olympic Games in 2028 in LA in flag football?
Well, I can tell you that based on Justin Jefferson's response, I don't think that we're going to see him playing in 2028 because, as he said, there's a lot of things to weigh. It's 3 years away. And also, I mean, the risk of injury is really great, or it is more significant than just guys going to training camp. And there's also the reality that there are other flag football organizations and leagues that are fielding teams that, you know, go all the way up to like national flag football teams, things like that. So the reality is that flag football is a different sport than tackle football, than the football that these NFL players are playing. There's different ways to train. There's, you know, nuances to the game that there are athletes in this country that dedicate everything to training for that. So I don't think it's an automatic assumption that, you know, NFL players will be able to slot in and take some of these spots. But I do think that there is concern among people in the flag community that that could happen because NFL players are such incredible athletes. But there's a lot of nuances and things to be worked out as far as, you know, guaranteeing safe playing surface, medical staff, working out how to train with these teams in between dead periods of OTAs and mini camps and training camp. They did talk about that, you know, if the games start on July 14th, and the flag football component is in the first week of games, then guys would have enough time to get back and have even a couple days in between the end of the Olympics, or the at least their Olympic part, and the start of veteran report at training camp. So there's still a lot of moving parts, but this at least gives guys an opportunity to start thinking about it, and it's not an automatic no. So, I mean, Justin Jefferson was really excited. So was Brian Asamoah, a Vikings linebacker, who his family is from Ghana, and he talked about how cool it would be to be able to represent Ghana in the games. And I think for a lot of these guys, there's the idea of you could win a gold medal for your country and you can say that you're the best in the world. And Super Bowl champs say that, but then there's always the people that say, well, you didn't play anybody from another country. How can it be world when it's only U.S. teams? So I think that that's something that's really enticing, and that will be something that's on the radar that factors into these guys' decisions of whether or not they decide to play in 2028.
So a lot of things you just said sparked a lot of ideas for me. And Anthony, we're going to have to, we need to talk about this tomorrow on the show. So Anthony, add Craig's football ideas about flag football based off conversation with Brooke to run down for tomorrow. But I'll ask you this one, Brooke, is someone who is there and is talking to people about this. The 1992 Olympics for basketball were game changing, literally. They changed the sport forever because of the NBA players playing for the first time, the opportunities that gave them, but also what it showed the rest of the world. We're in a very different world in 2025, and we'll see where we are technologically by 2028 compared to 1992. People can watch NFL football everywhere. There are already international games. But there are there people within the league, owners, commissioner, whoever, who think that this could be transformational if they can just get the best football players in the world on that Olympic stage in some ways that we probably aren't even or haven't really thought about yet as a general public?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, especially when you look at the league's efforts to make this a more international game by having, you know, the games in Ireland, Brazil, Germany, things like that. Like during the regular season, they're trying to expand the NFL footprint. The Olympics would do that even more so by having these top stars in it. And I think that they look at this can be an accelerator with the international game. You know, maybe this is the thing that leads to having a permanent team in London that maybe gets games in more countries. But like you said, the world is far more connected than it was in 1992. But even, you know, Brian Asamoah was talking about being in Ghana and doing flag football clinics with 10-year-olds who had not seen American football to that point. So there are still some countries that are not as familiar with the sport as others. And this can, I think, really expand that footprint. So I think the NFL has to love it, especially you mentioned from a marketing perspective. This is a goldmine for them and for the Olympics. If you can get the biggest stars playing, that's so much more star power for the Olympics, and it's great marketing and partnership for the NFL to achieve what they want to achieve in terms of, I mean, total global domination.
Brooke Pryor, ESPN, with us. All right, last thing, Brooke, is this playoff seeding proposal that they'll vote on tomorrow as well. How realistic is it that it passes and that, you know, a team like the Commanders, who won 12 games last year and then got bumped down because they didn't win their division, could have a much higher seed in 2026 and beyond moving forward?
I think it's going to be a contentious conversation, maybe not contentious. I don't think that it will pass, but I do think that it's getting teams to think about ways to ensure more competitive games at the end of the year, ways to, you know, keep the product as pure as possible when you get into those late season games, and to reward teams with, you know, home playoff games, things like that, that, like you said, have better records. But I think I don't get the sense it's going to pass, because then you have teams like the Steelers, and Mike Tomlin has had, like, he's a divisional purist. He thinks that teams should be rewarded for winning their division, that, you know, that's why you have these division rivalries. It really means something. If you take that away, if you take the home playoff incentive away, it kind of dilutes the product in terms of these divisional rivalries. So I don't think it's going to pass this time, but I do think that it makes teams think, like, okay, is there something where, you know, if one team is the wild card team is two games better than the home playoff team or than the division champ? Do you reseed it in that? Is there some kind of mechanism that it can be a case-by-case basis or a year-by-year basis, that it's not an automatic reseeding but under certain circumstances?
Yeah, like if you don't finish over 500, that would be that,
exactly.
That would be I'm in for that. Is that we can call it the Hoffman proposal, Brooke. I think you just run that down the hall real quick and
I'll
see
let
how that
them
goes.
Know.
Yeah, thanks.
You know, I have an eye on several owners. I will flag them down and let them know that we've got it figured out and that it's in the Hoffman proposal. And I'm sure we'll see it passed tomorrow.
And look, if you want it, I'll even Hoffman prior proposal. Prior Hoffman, you're the one there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I will.
You know, I like that.
Yeah, I'm just here. I'm here for the good of the game.
Alliteration.
Yeah.
Honestly, thank goodness. Thank goodness for you saving the sport.
Yeah, someone's got to. Roger. Brooke Pryor with us here on the Hoffman Show as I get everyone in trouble. Brooke, thank you as always, ma'am. Enjoy what I hope are a warmer rest of, or what I hope is a warmer rest of your trip.
Thank you so much. I will be staying inside and inside. Dry, and I will hopefully not have to go outside.
Yes. Yes, indeed. All right. Thank you, ma'am. See ya. That is Brooke Pryor
Thanks
with
for
us.
Having me.
Our pleasure here on the Hoffman Show. When we get back, we're talking hoops here on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds! Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.